Hola to everyone. Grandpa just came back from a tropical trip, gathering information about an incident that had occurred somewhere. I had to make sure that the details were accurate so that I can tell you about what happened in an upcoming tale. Now let's get back to Spore, a.k.a. Tale of a Fun Guy. This episode entitled The Non-Vax. Now close your eyes and let your imagination carry you into a world of fear and horror. Allergy sufferers were getting a new lease on life. A new one injection promising to end all allergy suffering for life. The brand new inoculation, developed by the five-star drug company, was ready for the general population. If you suffered from seasonal or chronic allergies, the one shot was all you needed. A cure-all. Antihistamines, over-the-counter allergy pills, decongestants, nasal sprays could all be thrown away and never needed again. The magic bullet. The vaccination started on April 4th, 2041. The same day as the last Mayflower left for Mars. This was also the same day Ed Gurney returned home. The one shot was for everyone. Those that didn't have allergies but realized as they grew older their bodies changed and possibly could develop allergies later in life, or those that didn't want allergies to develop at all. Ed Gurney had opted out of the one-shot inoculation. Even though he did suffer from allergies, he didn't think it was necessary to get the one shot. Upon returning from an archaeological dig in the Middle East, approximately 1 month after the one-shot inoculations had started, he developed a dry cough and sneeze, which over several days got worse. Finally, after his family pleaded with him to go to the hospital, he had his wife drive him to the ER at St. Raphael General Hospital. An orderly brought out a wheelchair after Ed's wife asked for assistance to help get him into the hospital. His coughing and sneezing continued as he was wheeled into the triage area, which was extremely crowded. People were there, waiting to see a doctor for their aches and pains. As his coughing ramped up and his sneezing, other patients were beginning to stare at him, wondering when the annoying cough and sneezing was going to end. Others were starting to yell at him to put on a mask or leave the waiting area. He was admitted to the hospital for breathing issues. He was kept in an ER bed waiting to be examined, still coughing and sneezing, an O2 nasal cannula in his nose due to his O2 stats dropping. The doctors, not knowing what the issue was. When he finally went to have a chest x-ray done, by the time they got the results, which took longer than they had hoped for, they saw that his lungs were filled with something. The doctors did not know. A nurse had gone to check on him. As she watched his heart monitor slow down and flatline, she immediately called a code blue. The resuscitation team went in and tried to revive him. Several people were now in the examination room. When the hospital's defibrillator was charged and the paddles put on his chest, the doctor holding them yelled clear, and the electrical shock was discharged. That was when Ed's chest exploded. Thick, grayish-black mucus came out of his chest, splattering everywhere, worse than several confetti cannons. The resuscitation team was covered in the mucus. Each one exited the room, walking into the hallway, mucus dripping off of them. While they were being attended to, other medical personnel were looking in the curtained area, seeing the mucus covering the floors, the walls, ceiling, medical equipment. The initial team members in the room when Ed's chest burst had stripped down, and all personal protection equipment, masks, gloves, gowns, shoes, everything was gathered and placed in hazardous material bags. The examination area was immediately evacuated and closed. A hazmat collection and decontamination unit had been erected. Once a sample of the mucus was collected, analyzed, tested in every conceivable way, it was found to be a spore, a black fungus. Action was started to find out what type, what caused it, and how it affected the body. The results the investigators received was not what they wanted to hear. They also had to find out how Ed Gurney contracted it. The next day, it was found the spores were spore-forming bacteria, unlike anything had ever been seen. It was superior to anthrax and Clostridium difficile colitis. Research was started immediately to come up with something to combat it. When the highest person in the medical industry was told that the resuscitation team and a doctor and another nurse who were in the room when the chest of Mr. Gurney exploded were told to go home, she asked on whose authority. She was told it was the director of the hospital. He was let go immediately. The civil trial with him suing the hospital for wrongful dismissal is still pending. The hospital now had to find out, where did Ed Gurney pick up the spore?
After analysis, there is no known cure.
Ed Gurney had ingested the spore when he was working on an archaeological dig in the Middle East. He and the team had been searching for some signs of fossils from a very rare dinosaur, Spinosaurus aegypticus, a spinosaurid from the Middle Cretaceous of Egypt. According to recent estimates, the species Spinosaurus aegypticus is the largest of all known carnivorous dinosaurs, larger than the Tyrannosaurus rex and Gigantosaurus. As they were digging, they came upon pieces of an asteroid, which apparently had hit the Earth sometime also during that period. The asteroid was rich in carbon, and it was found the fungi had produced certain amino acids and lay dormant on the asteroid and surrounding soil. The digging stirred up the soil, which released the spore into the air, which was inhaled by the archaeological team. It seems that the spore mutated once in the lungs in the perfect environment to grow. The CDC was contacted and brought in to help. Upon investigation, it was found that out of the 15 members of the team, all had ingested the spore, but only three had it mutated in their lungs. Ed Gurney was one, another from the United Kingdom, and the third from Egypt. The black mucus that had erupted from all chests of the infected members was found to be fungus that was dead. It no longer had the ability to infect others at that point. However, the Center for Disease Control and now the World Health Organization and all hospitals involved now had to find out the names of those who had been in the ER waiting rooms while the three infected members had been brought to their respective hospitals and had been coughing and sneezing prior to them being admitted. As the days progressed, more and more people were being brought to hospitals. Everyone had the same symptoms. The infected grew exponentially. Within months, the death toll climbed without any sign of ending. It was found that those who did not show symptoms, even though they had inhaled the spore, all had one thing in common. They all had received the one-shot inoculation. It was not allowing the spore to grow and mutate. It was also found that if a person was infected, then had the inoculation, it was too late for the one shot to be effective. The Spore had the ability to travel 120 kilometers or 75 miles before dying. Wind direction and speed was a factor, so was rain. The spores could head to a populated area or areas that were unpopulated. It was difficult to determine how many people were getting infected every day. By then, over 700 million people were dead. Makeshift quarantine camps were built to try and keep non-vaccinated who were experiencing symptoms out of the general population. The collaboration of agencies all over the world working together was able to start slowing down the infection rate. Month by month, infections had dropped significantly, but by then, 950 million people were dead. Infection now was slow, but still happening. Everyone was doing their best to keep the NVs, or non-vaccinated, alive. That was when the shit really hit the fan.